the story of our Lord's healing of this leper reminds us that the presence of God can and does overcome any and every protocol. The Jews regarded the lepers as social outcasts for good reasons, health and hygiene. They didn't completely exclude them, but they put limits on what they could do and where they could go for good reasons. Our Lord removed those obstacles so that, as the psalm says, I turn to you, Lord, in time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation. So that these outcasts would, one, be physically healed, and two, morally saved. When you think of lepers, and remember the disease of leprosy largely can be controlled now through medication, drugs, think of Saint Damien, the patron saint of lepers, who, as a Belgian priest, went to the island of Molokai, near Hawaii, to a leper colony, and there gave his life for these wretched souls who physically were decaying and spiritually corrupted. Outcasts, because they're no longer part of the fabric of society, can quickly fall into moral degradation, quickly fall into multiple vice, because they don't have the natural, or rather the ordinary, social restraints that partake of society. So one had to reform them morally, rid them of their vices, and two, give them a sense of well-being or worth, which he did. But it cost him his life, for he himself became a leper. So lepers have always been ostracized. The word ostracized is a funny word, nothing to do with ostriches, but it is a Greek term, meaning simply social rejection, to be excluded. Today we have our own forms of ostracization or rejection. Take, for example, a child who's not vaccinated for whatever reason. The child is socially rejected, excluded from perhaps certain forms of medical assistance or schools because they don't meet the grade in health and hygiene. We have our own form of social barriers. One form of barrier, or rather exclusion, which we encounter often with regards to spiritual health and healing, is this idea that we don't need the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. I say that because nearly monthly you encounter people who refuse on behalf of their beloved, perhaps grandpa or grandma, to call the priest, because once you call the priest, that's the last rites, and that means the person's about dead. And we don't want to scare them with death, therefore we won't call the priest, therefore the priest is not called. That's to ostracize someone, spiritually speaking, to socially or spiritually reject them and exclude them from God's healing power. True, the sacrament of anointing of the sick can be one of the five elements of the last rites, but it need not be. It used to be called extreme unction. Unction, the word for anointing, that you received in the last moments, in extremis, but not now. The sacrament of anointing of the sick is a necessary and most valuable component for those who are seriously ill. Let's quickly unpack the five W's concerning this sacrament. The who, the what, the when, the where, and the why. Firstly, who may receive it? Those who are seriously ill. Those going for a serious operation. It's not for those who have a slight temperature or perhaps going into the hospital for a day surgery. If you can go about your normal practice of work or get your hair done, even though you might not be feeling well, you're not a candidate. But if you're going in for major surgery, or you have a life-threatening illness, or grandma in her 90s has the flu, then you are a candidate. You should receive it. And anyone can receive the sacrament if they're duly disposed as a practicing Catholic. So just because someone's outside of the church or perhaps of another denomination, if they would like to become a Catholic and receive the sacrament, they may, they can. It is an option. However, they must believe what the church teaches regarding this sacrament and other necessary elements of the Catholic faith. What happens? Well, simply the priest is called, and as the scriptures say in James 5, he lays his hands on them and anoints them with oil. He anoints them on the forehead and on the hands. And with the ritual prayers concludes then with the Our Father and the blessing. It's a simple sacrament, but most effective. Where can it be given? Well, anywhere where the person who is seriously ill is at. Even in a car accident, the priest may be called to anoint the person whilst they're trapped in the car. But generally, it's administered in the home, nursing homes, or the hospital. How often? Well, as often as the person is seriously ill or becomes more grave their illness. So it's something you can receive on more than one occasion, and as one becomes progressively worse. Why do you receive it? Because it gives tremendous peace and comfort to the soul, because we're soul body beings that has a ripple effect within the body itself. It can bring about a rejuvenation of the body and a healing of it if God wills it. But primarily it heals the soul and gives that lasting joy, takes away anxiety and fear, and gives an inner peace. So it's not something that we want to deprive people of or exclude them from, but rather administer when necessary. So let us be mindful of those in our need, those in our families, those who perhaps are warranting this sacrament under certain circumstances. Not to hesitate to call the priest, but to make it as accessible as possible, lest they be ostracized. Lest they not be able to say, as we have said in the psalm today, I turn to you, Lord, in time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation. Praise be Jesus Christ.